Legalized gambling is a multi-billion dollar industry, and from what's happening across the country, it appears to be going mainstream. At the Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas this week, the nationwide acceptance of gaming was big on the minds of the 27,000 attendees. Chris Cerotti, U.S. Editor of Gambling Compliance, based in Washington, D.C., was there, as was Rick Velotta, business reporter and assistant business editor for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Chris, Rick, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
So, Chris, I'm going to start with you. I didn't attend the Expo, or G2E, as it's known by you insiders. I've just read about what attendees are saying and seeing. But there seems to be this real excitement out there about the future of gaming in the United States. From your national perspective, what's leading to this excitement?
I think it's the legalization of sports betting, as we talked about a little bit earlier. Oregon just launched, the Oregon Lottery yesterday launched their scoreboard app to let people bet. They've become the 14th state now to have legalized sports betting in the year and a half since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the federal ban known as the Professional and Amateur Protection Act. So that's driving a lot of it. And what was interesting being at the Sands Expo Center was the number of European sports betting companies that are here looking for ways to get involved in the U.S. growing sports betting business. And, you know, they had representatives there and they were constantly talking to people, you know, whether they're legislators or regulators or people who operate, you know, hotels or, you know, tribal casinos. They all want information about how to get into this business.
You know, there was also a statement from former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, right. And he said New Jersey is schooling the world on how to do sports betting. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said we're doing it better than anybody else is out there. In the last year and a half, they're outdoing Vegas, which has had it, I don't know,
40 years.
Yeah. And they're take is pretty high in the 400 millions. So are they schooling Las Vegas?
Well, you know, look, it's early on. And I had a chance to talk with Governor Christie, and it was interesting what he said to me was—
He talked to you?
Yes, he talked to me.
Okay, all right.
What he said to me was there are a lot of people he sees coming from both Pennsylvania and New York on, you know, over into New Jersey who have their apps on their phones, pulling into rest stops, making bets, and then turning around and going home. Now, that's his perspective. You have to remember right now that New Jersey really is it. I mean, you have Delaware, which is a small state. You have Pennsylvania that's growing even with high tax rates. The new numbers that came out today are up like 144%. So, you know, New Jersey is there, but there's going to be more competition just like there is. And those numbers, I think, down the road will come down. I don't know if Rick agrees with me or not, but I think in the end of the day, I think they'll level off and really, you know, just be one of a number of states that has sports betting.
Well, Rick Velotta from the RJ, does New Jersey allow something different in its sports betting that Nevada does not?
They do. They allow people to sign up for the mobile app without having to appear within the casino. That's a requirement here in Nevada that you must go in and show ID and that type of stuff before you get that mobile app turned on. So, you know, I guess my opinion on this New Jersey exploding in terms of sports betting is that it would be a news story if they didn't beat Nevada because they have such a great population base to feed off of, mm-hmm. all those people and Chris is absolutely right. They may get some additional revenue on their tolls for their tunnels and bridges because of the fact that they have to cross into the state of New Jersey in order to place a bet. But the fact is that that's what they're doing. Some of them are making their way to sports bars and hanging out in New Jersey, watching the game of their choice. And betting the game because they're within the state's limits.
Now, convenience, though, the convenience of sitting at home, signing up for something, and then being allowed to sports bet right from your home without going to a casino, it's appealing to me, and I don't sports bet, but I wonder if Nevada is going to respond to that. And a lot of the rules having to do with gambling in Nevada are very stiff and restrictive. They've been that way for good reason. But I wonder if either of you sees a loosening of that as the competition increases.
I don't. The difference between Nevada and New Jersey, this is the argument that regulators and those who support people going into casinos to sign up for these accounts is there's so many opportunities, there's so many casinos in the state that it's easy for anybody just to go sign up. I know there was, Becky Harris, when she was running the control board, I think she wanted to look at these regulations and make it easier during that time, and that went nowhere. So there's some very strong industry opposition to remote registration, which is what the term is in the industry.
They've talked about it, yeah. And it's a philosophy. It's a very conservative philosophy based on what we're seeing in other states. But the fact is that they don't want to change that. They think that they need to have a level of protection that is brought upon by bringing people face-to-face with those who are taking the bets. And so I agree with Chris. I don't think that this is going to change anytime soon. Although, if it did, we'd probably see a lot more people sign up.
Rick Velotta is here from Las Vegas Review-Journal. Chris Cerotti, U.S. Editor, Gambling Compliance. We're talking about some really interesting topics that came up during G2E, the Global Gaming Expo, which drew 27,000 people this week to Las Vegas. One thing I want to bring up before we move on from sports betting, what about the integrity of a sport? Sports. I'd ask this because Purdue University just announced it's going to ban sports betting on campus because Indiana is legalizing sports betting. Is that enforceable? Is it realistic? I called UNLV. They have no such ban. They don't think it's really realistic or enforceable. But I want your opinion on that. Does that do any good or is that just a symbolic move?
I think it's a symbolic move that they can say they're protecting the integrity of Purdue football and basketball and other sports. Is it possible? Yeah, sure, it's possible with geolocation and geofencing. You can fence off the campus to the apps, the William Hills or Caesars, MGM, whatever app you have, to not be able to use it on campus. But in the end, I think, we had bans similar here with UNLV, and over the years, they came to see the light and they overturned the ban. So I think once sports betting becomes more ingrained in Indiana culture, you'll see that ban go away.
But the ban does bring up something that's been on the minds of the NCAA, the NFL for years, and that's cheating. Nevada has long said, we're so strict about it. Cheating will never happen in sports betting. In fact, it ruins the integrity of sports betting. I'm not sure how. It changes the lines, et cetera, et cetera. But I wonder, as sports betting now is going to be in 14 more states, if anybody at G2E talked about that.
Sure. That's something that I think that, again, there's discussion about it. But the reality is that these athletes are not going to be going about fixing games because it's too easy to get caught. And the fact that there's 14 other states with sports books that are going to be keeping their eyes on the amount of money that's being placed on any particular contest, that alone is something that will kind of flag them in terms of saying there's something not right about this. We shouldn't be seeing, millions of dollars going on Arizona State to beat University of Arizona. What's going on here? And they will actually call the NCAA and tell them to look at it. So, and the other part of this is that...
But I get that.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's going to be so widespread now? There's going to be so many outlets, it'll be hard to manage. When it was Nevada, it was just one.
But you have to remember, when it was just one in Nevada, it was all under the table. It was all illegal bookmaking. So you can
outside of here.
Outside of Nevada. In the rest of the country until they overturn the federal ban. So you can make the argument that you're less likely to have these incidents now that it's in the light, it's regulated, compared to the old days where people were betting offshore or going to the bar and meeting a bookie and, putting $20 on, on the Washington Capitals to beat the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, gee. there's the door. There's the door. By the way, Rick Velotta, I want to go back to the excitement that's being felt at G2E. I think Las Vegas Strip casino operators, are excited as well because essentially they're the masters of the universe, of the casino in the resort universe. They're going to be building as other states do sports betting. But do you think other states – First, it's sports betting. Do you think within a few years they're all going to legalize casino resorts?
I don't think that that's in the cards. Certainly, there are a number of states where they'll see a small portion of the gambling industry, specifically sports betting. But as far as going full out with integrated resorts, that's probably something left to the domain of the markets that are really running that right now, i.e. Nevada, New Jersey, Mississippi, and we'll probably see some expansion in California as these tribes get a little bit larger.
I'm here with Chris Cerotti, U.S. Editor of Gambling Compliance, and Rick Velotta, Assistant Business Editor and Gaming Reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. They've both been attending G2E, Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas. It's one of the larger conferences here, 27,000 people. It ends this week. A lot of interesting topics have been brought up at the conference. And Chris, I want to turn to one of those, which I think a lot of people here would be interested in. You go to your local bar here in Las Vegas, even a major casino, you put money into a machine to play the slots, if that's your deal. But you can't put your credit card or your debit card in. But in regard to one of those, it's going to change. Talk about that.
It's already changing. And I think it's Atlantis. There's a company out of Reno called ACS, Automatic, let's just say ACS. They have developed a system called Play On, which is when you go and you take out your debit card and it's like a little charge machine that you put on the table, the blackjack table. This is their design. And say you run out of cash. And you don't want to leave the table, so the dealer puts the charge thing in front of you. You pull out your debit card only, put it in, type your PIN in, and say, hey, I want $100. Prints a ticket next to the dealer. The dealer takes it, puts it in like cash into the box, and gives you $100 in chips.
Oh, man.
That's what they've developed. Now, there's another a company called Global Payment Systems that's developed a way to put the paper tickets on your phone in an app. So when you want to play a slot machine, there is a little barcode on the slot machine. And in your phone, it's like a mobile wallet. It says you have like $300. You take your phone, you hit the barcode, and it pops up on the slot machine, and you have, $50 to play Blazing Sevens. So this is what they're trying to do to, get the cash out of the casino.
Get the cash out of the person. I'm guessing this is going to increase revenues astronomically. I mean, just think of yourself drinking. I'm not a gambler, but you're drinking there. You don't have cash, but you have your phone, and drunkenly, you just type in, $150,
well,
gone.
One of these things I have here, I'm not going to say the name of the company, but one of them here, we were playing this yesterday on the floor, and I said, I want $250. So you demonstrate how it works. And then there's a fee to do this of $10.25. So you're taking that old ATM fee that runs in Vegas anywhere from $4.99 to $9.99, and now you're putting it on this. So they're going to, the casino and the ATM people are going to make their money. So
it's genius. Again, why did they not allow that before? Because let's say right now I'm sitting at a blackjack table. There's an ATM 10 feet away. I can go get the money that way. This is sort of like putting the ATM right in front of you. It's more convenient. But why allow it now and not in years past? Rick?
I think that a lot of it is because the advocates for responsible gaming, the problem gambling aspect of it, those folks have come out and said having that type of access to your savings and your checking account makes you too vulnerable. People who are going to be compelled to try to chase losses, having that easy access to their money only makes that problem worse. So I would be surprised if this becomes a huge industry just because you're going to see the problem gambling advocates come out and attempt to set regulations that would kind of keep this in check.
I think the interesting thing is when I was at ACS's booth out of yesterday, they made the point that this is debit card only because we don't want you using credit. And You know how people, you know the stories you hear about people having $5 left in their checking account and using the debit card.
They use their deed to their house.
Yeah, I know. And then they get the $35 charge because they went to Starbucks and got a $5 cup of coffee or and they didn't have enough money. This system will not let you go in there. If you want $200 and you only have $100, it cuts off the transaction. It does not let you build credit or use credit to play. So
well, I guess that's something. But I wonder what happened to all of the naysayers. I remember years ago with John McCain in Arizona, the National Council on Problem Gambling was out there decrying the growth of sports betting. And McCain finally came around and said it's okay. Is anybody at this? Were any of the seminars about? Yeah, this is a bad idea. People are going to drain their bank accounts if they have this ease of getting the money.
I don't know that they had any specific sessions addressing that particular topic, but certainly the folks that are involved in problem gambling have also been in town. One of the less publicized conferences happened on Sunday and Monday prior to G2E, which brought together a number of people to talk about a lot of the academic aspects of problem gambling and treatment options. You've got the Nevada Council on Problem Gambling with Carol O'Hare's group here. We've seen some this National Center for Responsible Gaming conference that occurred Sunday and Monday, bringing in some of the top minds in treatment for problem gambling disorders. You've got Alan Feldman, a distinguished fellow in responsible gaming at the International Gaming Institute at UNLV, who was one of the top speakers there. And then there's all kinds of things that are actually happening on the casino floor to limit access or at least get people to think about it before they actually pull the trigger and get this money out of their account. MGM, for example, has a program called GameSense. They were required to put that in place when they opened a casino in Massachusetts. Well, what they decided to do was to make this a company-wide endeavor.
So what is it?
It is an awareness program that basically makes you think a little bit about how the odds are. It explains exactly what the odds are in any particular game that you might be playing on the casino floor. And then one of the options that hasn't been taken yet, but it can also place limits on the amount of money you spend, the amount of time you spend playing a game. So there are ways to do this. Now,
but you're not getting like an electric shock if you spend too much time.
No, but and obviously you can get around that by just going to a different casino. So
right.
it's one of those things that there's responsibility in the hands of the player, but at the same time, they are making efforts to do that.
But I think both sides are talking because you do have the American Gaming Association, which is the trade group for the industry, pushing this. I mean, they want to take the cash out of the casino. I mean,
yeah, why take the cash out of the
They've been told by FinCEN, the IRS criminal division, people who monitor money laundering and prosecute these crimes, that, look, you've done a great job, but you're too vulnerable to these things, and we would like you to take the cash out. And plus, look, times are changing. I mean, we all have iPhones or Android phones that we use. I mean, who carries cash anymore? I mean, you know?
And it's one of those things that it's much easier to track transactions.
Right.
So you're going to have some kind of a digital record of everything that happens. So in that respect, it's going to help some of the federal regulators who are
Great.
Looking for money laundering situations.
More tracking of our personal
That's
habits,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
At G2E also featured hundreds of new slot machines. I saw this picture of a Shark Week slot machine. I wouldn't do it, but it looked cool. But for at least 4 years now, I've heard of skill-based machines. And I'm waiting for the Shangri-La of skill-based machines that draws everybody in. I'm just going to give my personal opinion. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I play video games my entire life, maybe fresh out of the womb. And I can't imagine a slot machine being one that gives me as much satisfaction as playing a video game and potentially pays me money.
I talked to Blaine Grabos, who runs GameCo, which is one of the big video game gambling game machine makers. And he made an interesting point when I asked him a similar question. He said, look, it took 75 years to move from a coin-operated machine to a video poker machine. Okay, just think about that. 75 years. In 3 years, look at where this industry has come. You now have multiplayer games. You have companies that are looking to get into slot route business with these video gaming machines. It takes time. I think, you know, we're all so busy and, you know, not busy, but we're all so worried about who's going to be the next generation to gamble that we don't understand that this takes time to develop. And these games, from what I saw on the floor, are fantastic. And they're developing and letting people play longer and, you know, win more money and have a better hold for the casino. So you have to realize it's 3 years old. So it still has to develop.
The other part of that, too, is that this is part of what they call esports, where you've got major competitions. In fact, they have entire stadiums devoted to having these types of competitions where in essence, different teams are playing video games against each other. And, of course, what comes out of that eventually is the possibility that people will be able to bet on those games. Now, talk about an integrity issue. That might be something that you would need to really look at. And I think that's one of the reasons why it hasn't caught fire in Nevada specifically. We do have some. We've got a massive large arena set up at the Luxor in which they have these types of competitions. You know, and what's envisioned is that someday they'll have these type of competitions where people will be able to log on anywhere in the world and watch these competitions and bet on them.
The Mega Gaming Conference G2E is wrapping up. I think it's today or tomorrow in Las Vegas. Among the 27,000 attendees, Rick Velotta, assistant business editor and gaming reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and Chris Cerotti, U.S. editor of Gambling Compliance. Rick and Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is State of Nevada.